What's up, folks? David Soto Jr. here, and this is the David Soto Jr. Podcast.
What's up, folks? Welcome to episode 87 of the David Soto Jr. Podcast. I am your host, David Soto Jr. Hold on one second. I gotta put these readers on. Oh, wow. Oh, so much better. Okay, so, excuse me. It's been a couple years. Probably like 2.5 years. I think it was July of, not last July either. It was the July before that I stopped. That puts me, last July makes it a year and a half. And I've had plenty to talk about, plenty that I've had notes, I wrote stuff down, I'm like, this is for this episode, and I just couldn't get motivated. And even with recent events that have happened in my life, I have had even a lot more to talk about, and I couldn't bring myself to do it for some reason. But the reason I am doing this now, the reason I decided to do this now is because it's part of cognitive brain therapy, CBT, not to be confused with CBD. This wellness app just told me to do a caffeine-free day. And I don't know if that's, I've always thought that I don't need coffee and I don't have to have it and I could go without it, but I haven't gone without it for a long time. I used to go hunting without it because I don't want to have to shit in the mountains and while I'm out there hiking. Interesting. Anyways, I listen to a book. I do a lot of audiobooks. I don't have time to read. Also, something that I'm trying to reincorporate. But the point of it, one of the things, and the easiest thing to just incorporate, the easiest part of this CBT to incorporate for me was that went off right away, was to force yourself to do the things you enjoy. Because especially for depression, or that's what it's for. Like if you suffer from depression, and losing interest in things are one of the symptoms. And I've always, and then I want to chalk it up to ADHD, which could be a part of it. And that's another thing is like, it's not, there's never one. I always look for it. I think I've even talked about it, right? Incrementalism was a word that I learned just a few years ago. But basically, it's not just one thing. It's an accumulation, a culmination. It's a bunch of things. Even if it's just a little bit, all these little things add up. So, as far as my health goes, and I shouldn't even have to say mental health, right? Your health is your health, your body, your entire body, everything that has to do with your body should be referred to, as far as maintaining it, should be referred to as health. But I've always lost interest in things that I've had an interest in. And I recently, a couple of years ago, bought a guitar because I just had a thought. I recently bought a guitar and I played it a few times. It's a very nice Takanimi. It's back there amongst all this other shit. And I just couldn't do it. I love playing guitar. And I especially thought my kids would love it, which they did. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. And that's just one of the long lists. Reading, the only thing that has never faded away, but it got taken away from me, was fly fishing. But that's just because I moved to Missouri instead of living in Colorado. So, force yourself to do the things that you enjoy. Because you enjoy them. And you get the pleasure of it. And you get this the endorphins released that come with doing things that you enjoy. So I am forcing myself to do these podcasts because I really do enjoy them, and I work things out. Even if I don't have a bunch of listeners, even if people don't listen, and people don't, but just working these things out, it's like having a conversation with somebody. And I've been saying this from the beginning, that this, oh man, see, I'm doing this for me. So, the key to good art or creativity is to do things for yourself. Right? Always people try to make stuff that people would like so they can sell it or make money, get popular, what have you. But when you do things for yourself, you get the pleasure out of not having to please somebody, not having to, just last night somebody on Facebook posted something, and I showed my wife, formerly you know who, I've decided, or just transferred or switched to calling her my wife, I showed her this man's picture on Facebook, whose profile picture has been a picture that I took of him, and it's been like that since 2011. And she's like, does that surprise you? You seem pretty cocky about your photography. And like, I told her that I know my photos are good. I know that I take good pictures. But it doesn't, and I don't expect others to. I like the pictures that's gone away. The pleasure that I lost interest in, that I loved. I loved it. But I love the pictures I take. Anytime I try to take pictures for someone else, I don't necessarily like them. I got commissioned to do an author picture one time in... she was pleased. She was happy. She liked it, but I didn't particularly care for it. And that's when I see all these people start photography businesses and do well because they're taking corporate headshots and stuff, or wedding photos or graduation pictures. But that's not pictures I want to take. You got to do something for yourself. You got to do things for yourself. Do what you enjoy. And I enjoy making podcasts. For me, more than anything else, I really would like people to listen. I talk about my just before bed journal. I wrote that, created that. I don't even say that I wrote it. There's a little bit of writing in there, but it's a journal that I created for me. Because over the years, I developed these habits that I like to do. And I lose interest in it sometimes. Oh, I hear my oven. It is preheated. Anyways, why is my oven preheated? I'm baking sourdough. Why am I baking sourdough? Because I've learned that it is actually a good bread to eat. Whole nother story. Anyways, I'm back to podcasting, I guess. Let's see. I am trying. I have lots of things I want to talk about. But the main thing that's happening right now is what's been going on in these past few months. These aren't glare free, are they? I lost my job. I lost my very high paying job in May. Complete blindside. And as a sole provider for my family, it sucked. And I didn't think it would take long to get another job. I was confident. Because I have a particular set of skills. Mainly refrigeration, HVAC refrigeration skills. Of course, they're needed everywhere, and when you have those along with 23-year military career and just 30 years of experience total in refrigeration and building maintenance and communication skills that I obviously have, I didn't think it would be that hard to get another job, and I thought I might even be able to get a job that paid more. But in 4 months, I only got one offer. And that's hard. It's hard to get rejected over and over and over and over again. Like, that's not even enough overs. It's hard. And this is why people get discouraged about publishing their books, and they're writing to agents and trying to get an agent, and they keep getting rejected. But this isn't me trying to publish a book. This isn't me auditioning for a role or trying to be an actor or trying to pursue something on the side. This is me providing for my family in the form of healthcare, in the form of money to pay for food and preschool and pre-K and this house mortgage. It was quite the blow that I didn't really know was the impact it would have on me. Rejection, and finally I get an offer, the first one in 4 months, and of course I take it. And it's for a considerable amount of money less than I was making before. Granted, I just spent 4 months making zero So anything above that would be good. The problem was is that we maintained our cost of living because we had plenty of savings. We maintained our cost of living because we had savings and because we didn't think that I wasn't going to get any offers for 4 months. I honestly thought I'd pick something up in a month. One Cobra payment, and we're back and on track. Maybe two. But those Cobra payments kept coming, and our savings kept dwindling, and it started to get really, really low. And no offers. Nothing. And I attribute that to getting fired and having to tell people that I got fired for removing scrap metal without written permission. I'm gonna talk about that in another episode. So let's fast forward. I get a job, only one I have. It's for a phone tech. So 30 years of refrigeration dwindled down to becoming a phone tech. And I was excited. It was something I thought, well, you know, I still get to fix stuff. I'll just do it on the phone. And honestly, it was a foot in the door type of situation where I was interviewed for a phone tech, and the guy who turned out to be my boss was interviewing me, was like, whoa, this guy's got a lot more to offer. And so he actually tried to get a position created for me or see if there was one above for not what he was interviewing for. He wanted to bring me above in at a higher level because of the impact he thought I could have. That impact is my, I guess, again, communication skills and ability to and desire to teach and train. Like, that's my bread and butter. Best job I ever had was being an instructor and teaching for 4 years. I would love to do that. One day we'll open my own school. Tech school, trade school is very important. Don't let me, Mike Rowe's covering it a bunch. How important the trades are and what's happening. And So I kind of asked, and he was like, would you mind and just getting you in the door and bringing you in as a phone tech? And I was like, sure, no problem. And so I had a job, congratulations, now we got insurance, now we're bringing money home. But the pay was so low that we were now forced to lower our cost of living. So I was making, I was spending living better unemployed than I was employed. From no fault of my own, because we just kept our cost of living up thinking it would be temporary, and it was temporary, but not for the amount of time that we thought. I take this job, and it's, I'm not going to say it's horrible, but it is tough in my former boss will admit this, and he admitted it to me, that people who work in the field have a hard time coming inside and sitting and talking on the phone. For most people that are out there in the field, they actually enjoy it and they like it, and it gives them some pleasure to be out there turning wrenches and fixing stuff. To come inside and sit down and answer phone calls, and you're your job is to deal with unhappy customers. It's not, it's not for everybody. Needless to say, I was not happy. Not happy. Pay is lower. It's strained. It's a strain on my family, and it caused me to be even more sedentary. Now I sit down and answer phone calls, whereas even being unemployed, you think I'm not working, but yeah, no, I'm not earning income, but I was outside. It was the whole summer. It was over the summer. It was May through like September, I think I finally got. And so I worked every day on our house, rebuilding the deck and then redoing a part of the front, landscaping. And I was out there busting my butt and being physical, and that's exactly what I needed. I needed some way to be active. I needed something to do mentally and planning and remodeling the deck and doing all this stuff was good for me. But now that was gone. Oh my gosh. Okay. So the physical activity itself is releases endorphins, right? It makes you feel good, and then all of a sudden that got abruptly taken away from me. Jesus. Okay. I'm gonna wrap this up, but that was about 8 months of what I now see is a stressful situation. I didn't realize I was stressed. I didn't feel like, oh, I'm so stressed. And most people don't, right? Are you stressed? No, I'm not stressed. And you think about visibly seeing people stressed in situations, and I'm like, you know, I've been to war. I've been shot at very recently, by the way. Rockets, mortars, bombs, combat zone, I guess I thrive in those environments. I do better under pressure. But the pressure of... But I don't know if that's true or not. But if I was stressed over these past few months, you couldn't tell. At least I don't think so. You couldn't see it on me. But it turns out that I was. And that it was killing me. And I'd say slowly, but it doesn't seem slowly. Not at all. It doesn't seem slow. I went from pre-diabetic to diabetic over those few months. And yeah, now I'm diabetic. And I've nobody blame but myself. Stress is one factor. It's not all of the factors. Like, I didn't accidentally eat anything. I did it on purpose. I intentionally did that. So yeah, I take full responsibility, but I also take responsibility for my ignorance of knowing what is going on in my body and the things that I did not take into effect and take into account. Stress. So I'm on meds. I have changed my diet. The irony is my last podcast, which was like 2 Julys ago, it was about diabetes and being pre-diabetic and how I'm getting my blood sugar under control. I was getting under control, but it stopped. I remember my brother coming to town, and we did some drinking and eating, and then I stopped monitoring my, I was paying out of pocket for a blood glucose monitor. I stopped monitoring it because I was out of the sensors, and I no longer paid attention to my blood glucose. And instead of me getting better, things got even worse. Like, it's funny how you can stay on track with something, and then it just be, next thing you know, that was years ago. So I'm back at it. I'm back at getting my blood sugar under control. I have to fight an insulin resistance that I've have and have had for years, metabolic syndrome. I'm working on all that. I'm learning more, and I'm making a comeback. The day I got diagnosed, within the same 30 minutes that I got diagnosed with diabetes, officially, I was walking out of the, I was checking out of the doctor's office to make a follow-up appointment, and my phone rang. That phone call was a job offer. A job offer for considerably more money than I was currently making. A job offer for working for someone that I worked for before and I have so much respect for. And just someone I'm in awe of, and because of his ability to manage situations and people and me. And his ability to manage me, I appreciate him so much. And so that is something so important, because when you work for somebody, and we'll talk about this later, who doesn't, when I work for somebody who doesn't do a good job being a boss, who doesn't understand me and manage me well, I end up losing that job. I mean, I have depression and, I got officially diagnosed with ADHD. So I have depression, I have ADHD. That has an impact on my job. Jobs are supposed to make, those are officially considered disabilities, and work is supposed to make reasonable accommodations for people with disabilities, not just wheelchair accessible stuff. So I appreciate going to work for somebody who knows me, knows my history. I worked for before one of my first jobs when I returned to St. Louis, and I'm going to work for the American Red Cross. I'm going to be working for a nonprofit. I'm going to be working for a company that helps people. And I'm also going to get a brand new facility, a ton of responsibility. I'm going to jump into a manager role. This is the good stress. Like, this is where I work under pressure, right? Good, well under pressure. I'm asking for more. I want more responsibility. I need it. I need to stay stimulated. I need to stay busy. I need to stay working on projects and figuring things out, making improvements. Things are looking up. That diabetes diagnosis was a shock, and it was tough, and I might talk about that more later. But it was actually good for me. I needed it. I needed something to get me on track. That day, that hour, that half hour was the day, was the half hour that changed my life. Getting a job that's going to be more satisfying and pays well and is going to be under working for a better company, a better situation. That is the turning point for me, as well as getting this news that I'm diabetic. That is bad news, and that's tells me I'm dying. But that's what I needed to hear. To improve, those two things are what I needed to hear. I needed to hear both of those things. I needed a win, and I needed the punch in the gut to tell me to get my shit together. So I'm working on that, and I'll be sharing that, hopefully, on a regular basis here. Folks, David E. Soto Jr. is my handle on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. Check me out on Amazon, David E. Soto Jr. I'm done with Twitter. It just doesn't seem worth any time or effort after Cuckoo Bird took it over, all right? Again, I appreciate those who listen and take their time to listen to me working this shit out. I appreciate it. Thank you.